So, hello everybody. This is Rob Verheyken. I am speaking in English to you because today I'm talking to Mr. Kelly. Mr. Kelly is an Irishman, and I would like to ask him some questions about the recent rioting in Dublin, which were even to Irish standards quite wild and exceptional. So, Mr. Herman Kelly, welcome here. Please let me ask the first question. What was actually the cause of this rioting in Dublin we saw?
Thanks, Rob. Well, the immediate cause was that five people were stabbed on Thursday by an Algerian national. The news came out, so there was three children were stabbed. One is critically ill, and also two adults. The woman, the care worker who intervened, is also critically ill in hospital. And I believe the situation is very bad. So it was just public anger about the stabbing of young children midday in a main street, very close to the biggest street in Dublin. But it also must be seen in the context of, there was a trial the week before, and it was about the murder of a beautiful young girl, Aisling Murphy, who was a music teacher, who was a primary school teacher and a musician. She was 23, I believe. Really the flower of Ireland. It's really the pride, or the type of person who would be the pride of our country. And she was stabbed about a year ago by a Slovak Roma in the middle of the day beside a canal in the Midlands of Ireland, in Tullamore. And it came out in the case that the press had lied about the murder, that she had been stabbed 11 times. She hadn't been strangled. There was a big fight. And that it also came out that this Slovak Roma, who has been in Ireland for 10 years, called Joseph Puska, and was convicted of murder, that he had been in the country for 10 years and had never worked a single day in his life, that he got a free house, 5-bedroom house, free medical care, free education for his children, free everything, and he lived like a parasite off the Irish taxpayer. And again, the Algerian stabber from Thursday also had never been in Ireland for 23 years, had never worked a single day, and had actually had a deportation order, and he spent 5 years and taxpayers' money to overturn a deportation order, and he even eventually got citizenship, which devalues Irish citizenship greatly. And the question's asked, like, why are we allowing people into our country who go around stabbing and attempted killing of our children? And secondly, not only why are they here, how did they get here, how can they remain here and be unemployed for 10 years and 23 years and live off the Irish taxpayer like a parasite? So the riots started with the news that young children had been stabbed. But they went on, actually, I'm from the north of Ireland, and our fight was against British occupation of Ireland, because the fights in the north were to do with the plantation of Ireland with British Protestants in the 17th century. And of course, centuries afterwards, we're still dealing with the consequences of the plantation of Ulster. So I am not naive to believe bringing in people from a different nationality, completely different religion, and different culture, and bringing them in large numbers into Ireland, it will most certainly cause trouble. And this conflict will go on for some time.
So it is clear that there is anger in Ireland, yes, about this mass immigration, about this coming of many, many new foreigners. How does the current government and the political system react to that? Because I had the impression that they are now bringing only two messages. They say all this rioting is just something organized by the extreme right. Yeah. And the second point is, so we need now more censorship and we need more legislation against free speech. Is that also your assessment?
That's 100% correct. Basically, as you know yourself in ordinary life, when you run out of arguments, you just start name-calling. And I think it was Aristotle that libel was the last refuge of the loser. And over the last number of years, we have a police commissioner, Drew Horace, from the north of Ireland. He has greatly politicised the police force. the Minister of Justice is the one, Helen McEntee, who really should be milking cows, but really she is a complete incompetent. She's Minister of Justice. She's well out of her depth. So they are using these riots as a pretext or an excuse for introducing anti-free speech legislation, which they have been gagging to introduce for the last year. These anti-free speech laws, the impetus comes from, would you believe, the European Union. It says in Article 2 of the legislation, it's an EU framework, and it will be used to suppress any free discussion about immigration, about cultural issues such as, I don't know, the trans ideology and mutilation of your children, the cost of immigration, anything to do with the security of our country. Now, yeah, so it will be used as a pretext to suppress free speech and free discussion because they know that they cannot win the argument. So they're going to try to use the police and the courts through lawfare to suppress discussion. Now, you mentioned at the very start there the extent of immigration into Ireland. Would you believe since 1995, the population of Ireland has gone up by 42%, from 3.6 million to 5.1 million, right? That's 42%. The official figures on stats, the census figures, is that 20% of the Irish population is now non-Irish. But the census crowd themselves say that they're not accurate. The reason why is people come in illegally into Ireland are not going to fill in a census form and say, yeah, I'm from Somalia or Afghanistan or Pakistan, yeah. So then when you're walking around the towns and cities and streets of Ireland now, even compared to 10 years ago, and certainly compared to 2004, when the really large influx began, that in so many of our towns that we are actually a minority. And it's not just to do with the cities, also out in the country, West Clare there, Lucan, Varna, these small villages where Irish people are now a minority. And now we have experience, historically, of colonisation by a foreign power. And I mentioned before the plantation of Ulster, and that's what's happening again. Although this time it is caused by the acquiescence and agreement of the Irish government, who I would say are complete traitors to Ireland. And also it's because of EU open borders and free movement that people can just waltz into Ireland and they have a legal right to come in and reside in Ireland and stay as long as they like. And for ourselves, we realise that we cannot have a sovereign, independent country. We cannot have a national democracy while we're members of the European Union.
Mm-hmm. Maybe as a Flemish, you know, in Flanders there has always been a lot of sympathy for the Irish cause.
Absolutely. Good singer too. I've noticed.
So there's also still a lot of sympathy in Flanders for the party Sinn Féin. Because for Flemish people, they are still representing this Irish freedom idea. What is the position of Sinn Féin in all this story?
Sinn Féin, since the 1970s, have been ideologically taken over by the Marxists, who basically who centred around Gerry Adams in Belfast. There was a guy, Sean McCaughey, who was editor of Republican News. He was kicked out. Danny Morrison, who I once interviewed, took his place. And that was the sign and the instrument of the ideological takeover of Sinn Féin, who were once, decades ago, a nationalist party who wanted the expulsion of Britain out of Ireland. They wanted Irish sovereignty. They wanted to leave the EU. Now they've been completely eaten away by woke ideology and globalism and Marxism. Their immigration policy, they're all for mass immigration. They're gung-ho for mass immigration. I characterise their immigration policy as Brits out, everybody else in. The policy used to be Brits out, now it's Brits out, everybody else in. During the lockdown, they just so gagging to be part of the Irish establishment. They were all for the lockdown, but they wanted it to be harder and longer. They are all for this woke ideology. For example, anything like they went and begged the British government to impose abortion of Irish children in the north of Ireland. They are funny. Every time you see a Muslim, you will see a Sinn Féin MP or TD or councillor beside them supporting the Muslim cause in Ireland. It's unbelievable. And of course, they're all part of this Homos for Hamas, wing in Ireland. But they seem much more interested in what's going on in Israel and Palestine than they are in what's happening in Ireland. So Sinn Féin are not a nationalist party; they're an internationalist party, which imposes this woke ideology from America and Marxism from Europe. They are dangerous. People need to wake up. They're not a nationalist party at all. They're all gung-ho for mass immigration, and their ideology is very dangerous for Ireland. Any nationalist sentiment that they once had is long, long gone.
The next question, then, seems to me, do Irish people have an alternative? Is there a nationalist alternative to vote for?
Well, the Irish Freedom Party, we've started off 5 years ago. We started small. We're now getting bigger. We're getting lots of new members. Like even in the last month, we're getting lots of new members every day now. So the party is definitely growing. We do need to improve in the structural part about Cummins. But certainly in the numbers who have joined us, our policies are good for the people in Ireland. It's not just to do with immigration. It has to do with we're in favour of free speech to allow free discussion, for light on discussion. We're in favour of lower taxation to encourage people to work. We're in favour of, we're opposed to the carbon tax from the EU because it makes our milk, our meat, our fuel in our cars, our heating oil for our homes more expensive. We are in favour of a more cheaper and more secure sources of energy, be that tidal power, nuclear power, and reopening power plants in the Midlands of Ireland. We're also opposed, because, as I say, demographics is destiny. We're very firmly in favour of encouraging young children to get married, have children, and bring up their children in Irish culture in Ireland. We're also looking to bring back, so that would be means of encouraging by, like in Hungary, about encouraging the children to get married, have children through taxation system and stuff like that. Also, that the Irish diaspora, of which we've a huge Irish diaspora, Irish seem to be, they're best lovers in Europe, they've got lots of kids, that would you believe there's 4,000 Irish doctors working abroad. We've got lots of nurses, and they're all over in Sydney and Canada with signs that give us a reason to come home. Well, the Irish Freedom Party want to give our youth living abroad a reason to come home. The Irish Freedom Party, now there's a European election in June 24, there's three constituencies. We have three candidates, three very strong candidates. We have a good chance, and with all the publicity, now the mainstream media try to ignore us. But you know what? We're strong on social media, and now that we're getting out in international media, we make it impossible for the Irish media to ignore us. Anyway, all the people are talking about us anyway. So there comes a point where the Irish media I call them the whore media. The prostitutes. They are working as propaganda merchants for the Irish establishment. They are all in favour of mass immigration, EU membership, all this woke baloney, and they are part of the problem. So what we have in Ireland is a uniparty of the political class, the media class, and the NGO class, all living like parasites of the taxpayer. They're destroying working class communities by open immigration. They're making Ireland less safe, less secure. And the Irish Freedom Party, we would think we're socially conservative, as in we're pro-family and Irish people having children. We're pretty libertarian in the free speech aspect and stuff like that, encouraging lower taxation to encourage work, etc. But we're definitely a nationalist party, and we believe that Irish people come first in Ireland, and that we are sick of being patty last, as they say it, in our own country. We've had enough, and we're definitely opposed to the new plantation or the colonisation of Ireland without our consent.
If people want to
learn more about the Irish Freedom Party, they'll see it on the website irishfreedom.ie.
For a non-native speaker, only that last word, I think you need to clarify.
Well,
paddy last?
Paddy last, yeah. That paddy is the slang that we use for Irish person.
For Irish people, yeah.
That we've had enough of being last in our own country.
Ah, yeah, okay.
The Irish person being last in their own
being
country.
Being the last, yeah.
We have a policy, especially in local housing, that Irish people have a priority. That any the resources of Ireland for the people of Ireland. Like, to sum up our kind of ideology, it would be we want a free people and a free country, independent of the state as much as possible, not dependent on the state. So we're not left-wing economically. We want our Irish people first. We've had enough of paddy last. That the resources of Ireland must be for the people of Ireland. We're not put on earth here to provide housing, healthcare, education for every Tom, Dick and Harry who can buy himself an airplane ticket to Dublin. Those days have got to stop. As I said, we're opposed to colonisation of our country. We want to take our country back that we have. The Irish people alone have sole control of our money, our laws, our borders, and that we decide our budgets and we take back control of our country once again, because we are in the midst of the biggest colonisation of Ireland since the 17th century. So I'd like to thank all the Flemish nationalists for their support, for their interest. And I know with the pubs there, also like the Irish rebel song, so thank you very much for that as well. So you know what ultimately it's about, is we're opposed to foreign control of Ireland, where before it was mainly the British, now it's EU control, and all these people from Somalia, Afghanistan and Pakistan, we don't need them, we don't want them in our country, and we wish them all the best, but they go and do their thing elsewhere.
Okay, thank you, Herman, for this very interesting conversation. We wish you all of luck, of course, in the upcoming elections. And yes, we can assure you that we Flemish will keep singing a lot of rebel songs in the pubs. That's something we will definitely do. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rob.